Burning Hearts. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Luke 24, verse 32. The temptation of the Feast of Easter is great, for on the Feast of Easter the eye of every man and every Simon seeks the disappeared teacher in his physical appearance and is allowed to find him. Yet, when they have found him, they will lose him in order to seek the teacher again in his spiritual appearance. On the day of his resurrection, their lot in life was heavy, for they wanted to seize of him whatever their eyes saw. And he did not withhold himself from them, for he knew of what substance they were, the people whose eye of the soul runs via the eye of the body. Yet as soon as they saw him, he brought them, with a few words, "Do not touch me," to the tormenting realization that they had to let go of what their eyes saw and take hold of that which was invisible and not understood. They had burning hearts, burning from unrest, confusion, and doubting pangs. And no sooner had the fire of their hearts been extinguished, the panting for the visible Jesus quenched, then the burning of the hearts of that eternal fire was revived, which consumes the souls that are drawn to the invisible Christ. The one fire was extinguished, but the other cast into their heart. That was difficult. That was a struggle. That was the difficulty of the Feast of Easter for every Mary and Simon. But even greater was the temptation, and more strongly the distress, of the travelers to Emmaus. Jesus Christ, who cast the fire into us, went with them an even more difficult way. To the others he had revealed himself first as Jesus, who had risen, and after that as Christ, who ascended into their hearts. But to the men of Emmaus he remained the unknown stranger, and as such he preached the Christ to them. To the first he returned to leave them again, when they had seen and recognized him. But to the latter he turned indeed, yet he did not return as a lost friend, for they did not recognize him. And as soon as they did recognize him, he was gone from before their eyes. To the first he extinguished the fire of suffering about the physical loss, and then lighted the burning fire, not for the Christ of their thoughts, but for the Christ of the Scriptures. Yet, for these two lonely travelers, he lighted a new fire, when the first was not even extinguished. He left them with the impression that they would continue to be deprived of the physical communion of Jesus, something that the others had already understood better. And when that grief had not even disappeared yet, he asked for their hearts' attention to that great joy, that the way was opened to them, not as the friend of some, but as the Christ of all. Oh, dear friends on the way to Emmaus, your hearts burned indeed, burning hearts, two kinds of fire, what a mighty contradiction. For us, who want to put their image before our eyes, the Prince of Easter has become a very wise teacher. He treats everyone according to his particular needs. He gives strength according to affliction, but he especially gives affliction according to strength. For do you not see that the men of Emmaus had more strength than the others on this day of disturbed hearts and burning souls? The others had indeed told each other something, but had not asked anything. These two men, however, said little to each other, but asked each other much. The other said, "Thus it is." These men asked, "How is this?" The others spoke from their premise. These men posed a question. There's a footnote here. In the Dordt Study Bible, Luke 24, verse 15 is translated as, "And it came to pass, while they spoke together and questioned one another, that Jesus himself came to them and went with them." These men posed a question. Thus they reached out to the depth, They began from the riddles of Golgotha. They left the surface and came to the dark corners of the hearts, where only strong people can abide. They had greater strength and thus also a more severe affliction. For two kinds of fire are heavier than one burning of the heart. The others stayed at the surface with their premises, and thus there was for them no place for contradictions. With them it was this way or that way. Thus there was with Jesus the great love, which gave them no more than one fire for the heart. But the men of Emmaus, by questioning each other, had a good look at the contradictions. They dared to do that. That is why they were very disturbed by the two kinds of fire that were burning simultaneously in their hearts. The deeper the source, the greater the flame. At the crossing of thoughts, there was also the crossfire of hearts. Affliction according to strength, that is the law. For otherwise we do not see the Christ. Yet God be praised, and blessed be the teacher of Easter. There is also strength according to affliction. These men of Emmaus were afraid to lose the physical communication with Jesus. Yet they were allowed to enjoy the consolation of spiritual communion with Christ. When he opened the scriptures, they saw behind Jesus the Christ. And behind the tying together of human abominations on Golgotha, they saw the tying together of the threads of God's eternal counsel of salvation. Then all was well. Strength according to affliction. Affliction according to strength. Yes, certainly, it is possible. For every affliction gives strength, and is strength itself. The greater the affliction, the greater the strength. That is what we see here too. For every Mary and Simon, and also for the women, he was the familiar Jesus, the Jesus of before, whom they recognized, who had preached to them the Christ of the Scriptures. That physical, external Jesus was their temptation, the rock of offense for their still carnal thoughts. Oh, if they could only touch him, see him, hold on to him with their hands of flesh. Ah, exactly he, whom they had to lose, stood before them, the preacher, who displayed and removed the offense of the cross from them, was for their thinking and senses of the flesh exactly that offense himself. Yet, what about the men of Emmaus? The teacher, who preached to them, the Christ, according to the scriptures, was for them a great unknown one. Of the Jesus in the flesh, they discovered no trace, but the spiritual wealth of Christ enlightened their soul with free brightness, unbroken and unrestrained. The irritation of the gospel was preached to them, while they did not realize that he himself was the irritation. That is the way of God. Thus the Prince of Easter raises his children. Where the unholy fire of hearts is extinguished, the holy burning of the soul cannot flare up without the ashes first being stirred by an able hand. Thus it is with every Mary and every Simon, thus with the others and the women. Yet wherever he meets friends who are asking questions on the way to Emmaus, he will not leave the twofold fire of the soul to consume the heart in inner self-conflict. For that which remains and rises upward out of the temptation is the flame of the burning heart that reaches out in holy fire to heaven, to the invisible, the mystical Christ of the Scriptures. There is no child of Easter that God will not place before the fire of flesh and spirit. But the Spirit will be victorious over the flesh, always and everywhere. That is the jubilation of everyone, of each man of Emmaus, and of every Mary and Simon, and of all the faithful friends, when they are united together for the holy feast of the burning souls. For burning hearts, which have been put on fire by Christ, will in the end always be enlightened hearts.